Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So last week, my mom was supposed to do a girls' trip with her four best friends, and they were going to go to Cedarburg. And the day before they're supposed to go, one of the friends had to report that at their Thanksgiving big family event, over half of the people who were there had either influenza, COVID, or RSV when they were all together. And the friend said, do you want me to come, as a very thoughtful way of saying, do we want to spend this time together? I feel fine right now, but the likelihood that I am carrying something now is very high. And so they unfortunately canceled their trip. But it was a reminder that right now there is a triple threat of so many viruses running around, whether it's influenza, RSV, and COVID, and so apparently at higher levels than we typically see this time of year. So to walk us through it is President and CEO of the Medical College of Wisconsin, Dr. John Raymond. Welcome to the show, Dr. Raymond.
Yeah, thank you, Kristen. Glad to be here.
So I feel like for a month or so now, we've been seeing so many kids are sick. Hospitals are starting to run out, especially because they're respiratory viruses. And so where are we right now in Wisconsin as far as how either overloaded hospitals are, but how many cases we're seeing, and is this abnormal?
What we're facing right now is not typical. We have a steady but high level of COVID with a manageable number of hospitalizations. But when you superimpose on that a rapidly rising early flu season and then earlier than usual and more severe respiratory syncytial virus season, both pediatric and adult hospitals are filling up with people that have respiratory symptoms. These are three very different viruses, but they manifest in very similar ways. Okay. Cough, fever, constitutional symptoms, and in some cases, severe problems with shortness of breath. That COVID predominantly now is affecting people over the age of 70. There's been a threefold increase in hospitalizations in California and New Mexico, so we expect that there probably will be something similar happening here. RSV may have peaked, but it is a very significant respiratory virus that affects the elderly and kids. And flu, obviously, is just starting to peak now, or starting to rise now.
And so, do they all spread in the same way?
Essentially, yes, Kristen. Okay. So these viruses, even though they have similar symptoms, they may have different physiologies, but they spread in the same way. So respiratory spread is the most common, but also spread through contact on touch surfaces can happen, especially with flu and RSV, a respiratory syncytial virus. So the things that we recommend people do, other than staying away from people that are obviously sick, or if you're sick, staying away from other folks, is to wash your hands, socially distance, or wear a mask if you're around vulnerable people. And for all three viruses, the elderly are vulnerable. People that have immunocompromise, maybe from cancer or from rheumatological diseases, also are at high risk. And then for flu and RSV, kids also are very susceptible.
And so what is it? Because for kids, is it more likely going to be influenza than RSV? Because like you said, the COVID is still predominantly affecting older people.
Yeah, COVID is infecting everybody, but the disease manifestations are more severe in older people.
Okay.
Kids are still getting infected with COVID. Just looking at the hospital censuses, there's about five times more kids hospitalized with RSV right now than with COVID, and maybe twice as many with rhinovirus as with COVID. So we still have some COVID, but some of these other viruses are causing more hospitalizations in kids.
We're talking to Dr. Raymond, who is the CEO and president of the Medical College of Wisconsin, about the mixed bag of influenza, RSV, and COVID. And so obviously this is also on top of shortages in hospitals. And so how are different hospitals being able to manage this uptick in cases? And I guess even more importantly, knowing that there is a shortage of workers, at what point would you advise people that the symptoms are severe enough to go to the hospital versus what can be done at home?
Right. Well, obviously, you want to consult with your doctor, but if a child or an adult is short of breath, if they have a high fever, if they're very profoundly weak, then obviously they need to be seen. And typically that would either be in an urgent care or an emergency department. So I wouldn't change the way that the threshold that people have for seeking medical help. But we do want to do everything we can, not just to protect each other, but to make sure that our hospitals don't get overwhelmed. So the usual things that we've talked about, hand washing, socially distancing, avoiding interacting with sick people, protecting the vulnerable, those are things that we should be thinking about, especially around the holiday season. And we have seen a very significant spike in respiratory diseases that have happened within a week or so after Thanksgiving.
Dr. Raymond, I had a friend who was visiting from Texas a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, and she actually had influenza A. I didn't realize that there was an A and a B, and she was really, really sick.
Yeah, influenza A typically causes more significant symptoms, but there are two major strains, A and B, and the vaccines that we roll out every year are typically tailored to what the scientists believe would be the most likely strains of A and B that would be circulating.
And so as far as why we're kind of seeing all of this at the same time, is there any reason to think that it was because of the last 2 years around this time, it was only COVID? And is there a different immunity that's changed in when we were isolating versus when we're not? Or is there any kind of leading theories as to why all three of these things are so prevalent at the same time right now?
Right. Well, there's certainly a lot of theories about what masking and isolation may have done to immunity from non-COVID diseases. But I think the most likely thing that's happening here is people are tired of being apart and they're mixing and intermingling with each other in normal ways, pre-pandemic ways. And that's just given these respiratory viruses an opportunity to spread maybe a little earlier and a little bit more severely than we would have in a typical season.
In some ways, it's almost like we have collective amnesia as far as what happened. And everyone was so good originally about stay home if you're sick, don't go to work. Work doesn't want you to come to work if you're sick. And I just think too, Dr. Raymond, it seems like we've all kind of forgotten about all of that.
Yeah, and let's face it, people are tired of isolation. They're tired of wearing masks. They're tired of doing all these things to mitigate the risk of COVID. But these measures also work very well for other common viruses. And I don't think people understand influenza in a bad season can kill 50,000 people in the U.S. Respiratory syncytial virus kills 14,000 adults every year and 500 kids. So these are still very significant problems. And this isn't really the time for us to go completely back to our pre-pandemic habits. A little bit of precaution is really warranted right now, especially with the cold weather and with people getting together for the holidays.
And so obviously, I would imagine that your recommendation beyond what you said, washing your hands, wearing a mask if you're not feeling well, socially distance, is getting vaccinated if you're not vaccinated, and boosters if you need boosters for both influenza and COVID. And I also I'm assuming, because I haven't heard anything, there's not a vaccination for RSV.
That's right, Kristen. No vaccine for RSV yet. And yes, the vast majority of medical professionals are recommending that people get vaccinated, both for seasonal influenza and for COVID, especially if you're in a vulnerable population or you live or work with vulnerable people. So these new bivalent boosters for COVID do give what appears to be a stronger immunity to the new strains of the virus that are circulating, the Omicron variants that are more contagious. And especially if you're in a high-risk group, we are recommending that you receive a vaccination. But obviously, if you have concerns about vaccine safety, talk to your doctor.
Absolutely. What are our vaccination numbers in Wisconsin, Dr. Raymond?
They're lower than we'd like. They're at about 67% for people that have had at least one vaccine against COVID, and about 37% for people that have gotten one booster. So obviously not optimal. We'd like to see more people get vaccinated.
And so just as a reminder, as we get people get sick, and so the once you are sick, don't go to work, wash your hands, wear a mask. But as far as kind of that in-between level of when we get sick and it's not so bad that we are going to go to the hospital, does NyQuil work? Like for the over-the-counter stuff, when you are feeling bad, as a doctor, what do you recommend to make yourself feel better with what we probably blanketly call a cold?
Like everybody else, I'll take an analgesic or a cold medicine if I want to feel better. So symptomatic management is good for these respiratory viruses. One of the problems is we are seeing some shortages of both over-the-counter and prescription medication associated with our disrupted supply chain.
Well, great.
I was hoping you were going to suggest a brandy hot toddy, but maybe that's just me.
That's all right. Home remedies are okay if they work for you.
Whatever you got to do to come to work, Jane. Well, is there any other advice you would give to people in our audience as far as what to look out for or how to stay healthy?
There are two things. If you are diagnosed with influenza early and you're in a high-risk group, you can be prescribed Tamiflu. It does reduce the symptoms and the severity of illness. And the same would go for COVID. We do have Paxlovid, which if you can take it early, does lower the risk of severe disease and lower the risk of death and hospitalization. So again, get diagnosed early and make yourself available for these medications that can prevent severe illness.
Well, that is great to hear. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Our guest has been Dr. John Raymond, who is the CEO and president of the Medical College of Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all that you do.
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks, Jane. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, some more Twitter drama, because that seems never ending. This is As Goes Wisconsin.